You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Guys, let's do this. Come on. You pumped? Yeah, come on. Come on. All right, here we go. Okay. Oh, I feel it. Okay. Oh, I got dizzy there. Good. Mic pack. All right. Oh, we're a little crooked, fellas. Oh, okay. Okay. So, when, what's that? Okay. Can you see me? Hi. When lifting weights, there's this thing that, this principle that applies. It's called maxing out. And the idea is that you keep lifting your weights, and then when you get to a spot where you can't lift anymore, then it's time to say, okay, that's good. And then you can add more weight, and you can grow from there. And I've done that. And one thing you always do when you lift weights is wait for motorcycles to go by, is that you always have a spotter. Because when you max out, what that means is that you can't lift the weight yourself anymore. And I've been in that spot because I'm an idiot. And I've been in the spot where I can't get the weight off of my chest. And the thing about it is that when it comes to this, you know, knowing a good plan doesn't really help. If I watch a good video online, that doesn't really help me with my predicament at the moment. There's a lot of things. Like eating more fruits and vegetables is great, I guess, until you get to this moment where the weight is crushing you. And the solution, really, to this problem is never going to be another trick, another tip. Hi, guys over there. Another technique. I'll say hi to you over there. Hi, guys back there. Oh, I'm going to regret that tomorrow. There's no tip, trick, technique. There's nothing you can do, because it doesn't matter how much you want to or how much you deserve to get these weights off of your chest or how hard you think you can work to fix it. You can't do it on your own. You can't lift the weight on your own. You get that? And if you don't lift the weight, ultimately, you suffocate. And here's the thing, and we talked about this last week. When it comes to our sin and our problems and our skeletons in the closet, we think, oh, I can fix it. Oh, this time it'll be okay. Oh, I'm going to conquer it now. And we talked last week and said that you cannot fix it. You can't do it. You need someone else to lift the weight for you, as I do right now. Gentlemen, my arm is totally asleep. Would you please come and lift the weight off of my chest? Thank you. Just put it right back on the rack there. You got it. Oh. Thank you. I did not count on that. But here's the thing. Like, how often we're like, oh, no, this sin, this time I'm going to fix it. This time I'm going to conquer. This time I'm going to overcome. And you're laying there with the weight on your chest going, oh, I'm going to do it. But you can't. You cannot lift that off of your chest. And the excuses you make and the tips that you think and the tricks that you've got, all you're going to end up doing is suffocating under the weight of your sin, because you can't lift it on your own. And if we can review from last week, if you remember, we ended with this passage from Romans chapter 7. And this is Paul, the one that planted churches throughout the Middle East, the Mediterranean area, wrote half of our New Testament. And he said, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong. This shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't, right? Have you been there? I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, and I am not really the one doing wrong, it's the sin living in me that does it. He goes on and says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And you might have been in that spot, right? Every time I want to do what is right, I end up doing it wrong. And listen to what he says, and you're probably in the same boat. I love God's law with all my heart. I love Jesus. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still in me. And he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life? And I just want to hold on that question. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And that's where we wrapped up last week. And we said that, you know, it's not a what, it's not a technique, it's not a tip, it's not a video, it's not a five-step program. There is no what that can rescue you, that can rescue me from my sin. And Paul recognized that, and he says, who will free me? And that's where we stopped. But then he goes on to the next verse. He says, thank God. The answer to my sin problem, the answer to the problem of me trying harder and failing more, the answer to me saying, oh, this time I'm going to lift the weight, this time it's going to be different. No, the answer isn't that. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And you probably are familiar with this verse if you've been in church for any time. So now, and this is rolling over onto chapter 8, it's all the same thought. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that can take that weight. Jesus is the one that can rescue us from our sin. And this week's point is Jesus destroyed our skeletons on the cross. Now, I will say, if you were not here last week, if you did not watch online, this series very intentionally builds upon itself. So go to mc3church.org. And watch, click on listen to the point, or you can go to our live stream archive and watch last week. If you're not here today, you wouldn't hear what I'm saying right now. But if they're not here today, tell them to watch it, because next week we're going to go to the next step, and then we're going to get to the final step on week 4. But Jesus destroyed our skeletons on the closet. And as we've already begun today with some heavy stuff, like I said, this series has been planned months ago. And the reason this series exists, as I said last week, and you can catch up on that, but how many churches have fallen apart because a leader or a prominent church member had a skeleton hiding in their closet? How many CEOs were at Coldplay concerts when the kiss cam showed up on them when they weren't with their spouse? How many ministries have crumbled and people walked away from Jesus and the church because there were skeletons in the closet? And this doesn't mean that there's leaders, that leaders should be without sin. It just means that, or you or any of us should be without sin. It means that we need to bring our skeletons into the light. Because we think, no, it's okay, I'm going to keep it hidden there, and I will lift this weight, I will solve this problem. And you need to understand that we said last week, we're all in the same boat. We are all struggling with our sin. And again, if you think, no, that's not me, well, you're a liar. There you go. Now you're a liar. So that's the sin that you struggle with. And the answer isn't for us to fix it. The answer isn't to try harder. The answer is Jesus, who destroyed our skeletons on the cross. And as I said last week, and I'm impressed. It's a rainy day. Like, for some reason, rain keeps people from church. Like, oh, you can't go to church in the rain. And we're pretty full here today. But don't miss any week of this series. Because our insides are going to go, like, this is too hard. I don't want to confront these issues. Can I just leave them tucked away, hidden, where they're safe and secret and nobody's problem? But as we've already seen, they don't stay that way. And they are a problem. So don't skip a week of this series just because it's uncomfortable, because it's going to be uncomfortable. But I want to talk about this one verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And again, if you go to YouVersion and the notes under the events there, you can find Mifflin County Community Church, week 2 of Skeletons in the Closet. The verses are right there before you. The notes are right there before you, so you can focus on what's happening and not have to go write down everything. But this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter writes this: "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed." And I want to talk about this passage, and I'm going to be so tedious that you're going to be like, what are we, second graders? And if you're a little offended because you think you're a second grader, that's fine. If you completely apply this passage, then that's great too. But I just want to break it down and realize what is happening in this verse. Because this is Peter. This is the Peter. He's old now writing this. But this is the Peter that walked on the water, Peter. Peter that denied Jesus, Peter. Peter that stood up at Pentecost and 3,000 people came to Christ, Peter. And what he says here is something that's so simple and yet so profound. And what it was is that he, Jesus, did the heavy lifting. Jesus did the heavy lifting. You can be laying here on the bench working and working and trying and trying, but you don't need to, because Jesus already did the heavy lifting. And again, we're looking at 1 Peter 2:24, and I want to compare two things. In the YouVersion notes, you'll see it's kind of wonky there because it is. But I'm comparing two parts. First of all, I want to look at Jesus and his part. What is it that Jesus has done? What is his responsibility? What is his job? What is his step? And then the other side is just us, our part. Jesus and just us. Because unfortunately, if you're like me, meaning a human, meaning a sinner, you probably try to do the Jesus part. But we shouldn't. So, again, being very tedious, what do we see here? What is Jesus' part? He carried. He carried. The first part of the verse says, he personally carried. He was the one that did the heavy lifting. He was the one that carried our sin. He did the lifting. And in this particular scenario here, when Kirk and Ezra came up, was Ezra, right? Who else came up here? I didn't even notice. I was busy passing out. Did Ezra make it up here? Yeah, okay. All right. I didn't do anything. They're the ones that did it. And I didn't have to do anything. And that's what Jesus did. He carried. That was his part. He carried the weight. Now we have a part to play. What's our part? Well, we need to be sinners. Check. That's what you bring to this equation. Not that we're supposed to bring it to that equation, but we are. We are sinners. Our part is our sins. And that's what the verse goes on. He personally carried our sins, your sin, my sin. That's all that we do for Jesus in this scenario. All that we bring to this arrangement is our sin. Our part is to be sinners. And that word sin means miss the mark. The word hamartia is the Greek word for sin in the New Testament and has the idea of a target. And anything on target is good job. But anything outside of that target is missing the mark. Whether that's just outside the bullseye, or you done shot it way over there. Either one is missing the mark. Either one is, as Paul says, falling short of God's standard. And so Jesus took our sin. So every time you miss the mark, that's what Jesus carried. Every time. And then it goes on and says, he carried our sins in his body. That's his part now. He carried them in his body. And And the verse goes on and says, he personally carried our sins in his body. And what does it mean, in his body? Not on his body, in his body. He bore the weight of our sin. We sang that this morning. The weight of our sin. He carried our sin in his body. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is not on the screen. Paul writes, he who had no sin became sin for us. He took our sin. He was perfect, sinless, and chose to take our sin on him. He chose to take the weight. He chose to go under to the suffocation point. He carried our sins in his body. And then the second thing, staying with Jesus, his part was on the cross. He carried our sins in his body on the cross. He carried them in his physical body. He took the weight for us on the cross. He died what we would call an excruciating death. Do you know where the word excruciating comes from? If you take a moment to break down the parts, it comes from ex crucis, out of the cross. The reason the word excruciating exists is because of the cross. And Jesus was beaten. He had a horrendous punishment, beaten, humiliated, naked. We actually talked about this in our Through the Eyes of John series last Easter time. It was awful. And he did that for us. And he did what we deserve. He took what we deserve in his body on the cross. So what do? He did this so that our part... Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the verse, didn't I? He carried our sins in his body on the cross. There we go. And then what is our part? Our part is we die to sin. So again, he took our place. He took the weight of the sin. He took the weights that we were under dying and said, what I'm going to give you is weightlessness. He goes on in the verse and says, so that we can be dead to sin. And that phrase, dead to sin, it's strong wording, because something that's dead is no longer alive, right? Something that's dead is done. It's dead, Jim. That's something that Bones would say from Star Trek. It's something that's dead. Like, if it's dead, it's dead. You know what something you do dead, and I don't mean to be mean or insensitive, but something that's dead gets buried because it has no value. Whether that's something that was alive, whether that's a vehicle, whether that's an oven again, it's dead. And so Peter's saying, we need to be dead to sin. It's done. There's nothing more. Why are we trying to live in this thing? It's dead. It's gone. It's done. And then the second thing he says, we can die to sin and we can live right. When we are dead to sin, now we actually have the ability, when we're not under the weight anymore, we have the ability to do something else. We have the ability to live for what is right. And that's what Peter goes on to say. So that we can, live for what is right. That's our job. Jesus did the heavy lifting. He took our sin in his body, suffered on the cross. And that suffering and punishment was something we deserve. And he did that so that we are free from the weight of sin. So that we are able to live for what is right. So that we have, as Kirk was praying, so we have hope for eternity. Because under the weight of our sin, if you die under the weight of your sin, you go to hell. Hell is not a pleasant place. We did a whole series called Burn a number of years ago where we just talked about it. It was rotten. No, that was a different series. That was rotten. But rotten leads to hell. But when we recognize what Jesus did for us, when the weight has been removed, we now have hope for eternity. We have hope in heaven. And then what's Jesus' part? This is kind of a summary statement. It's his wounds, Jesus' wounds, his punishment. And he goes on and says, so by his wounds, again, as a summary statement, because of Jesus' suffering, because of Jesus' pain, because of his humiliation, the suffering, pain, and humiliation that you and I deserve, it's by his wounds. What's our job? We're healed. I mean, think about it. There's this movie that our family kind of really likes. Kendra doesn't. It's called Master and Commander, Far Side of the World. And it's about these guys on a ship back during the Napoleonic Wars in the 1800s. And there's this one particular scene where the ship's doctor gets shot accidentally. And if you're squeamish, I don't know, I'm not going to... But anyway, he ends up having to perform surgery on himself. And it is like he's biting down on a stick and using a mirror and it's pretty crazy. But you know, that's an unusual situation. Typically, if you go into the doctor or you go in for surgery, guess what your job is to do? Typically it's sleep. Typically you just sleep and someone else does the work. And that's what Jesus did for us. By his wounds, by his work, his death, his suffering, we are healed. And just like going in for, I don't know, appendicitis. You're about to die. You wake up on the other side. Yeah, you're a little bit lighter. But now you're living. You're healed because of that. And that's what Jesus did for us. And the rest of the verse says, by his wounds, you are healed. Healed. We have been healed from our sin disease. The weight has been lifted. We don't do a thing. Do you realize that? Nothing over there do we do. Jesus did all the work. We simply believe. And we'll come to that in a moment. So the point today, as we talked last week, was all of us have skeletons in our closet. We all do. Jesus destroyed our skeletons on the cross. And I use the word destroyed because, like, sometimes we fool around. We're like, it's kind of... No. Destroyed is gone. We're talking Alderaan. Boom! Nothing left. That's a Star Wars reference. And if you saw it when in the theaters, you get extra awards from me because that would have been 1977. I was alive, just not in the movie theater at that point. I was 6 months old. But like, that's what destroyed. Like, it's done. It's done. Our sin is done. And we don't need to live under the weight of it anymore. We don't need to. You don't need to. You don't need to do that. You don't need to hide them in the closet because Jesus destroyed them. And we're hiding these things in the closet, and it's like that scene from E.T. Now I'm old again. You know, you open the closet door, and like, where's E.T.? I don't see him anywhere. He's hiding out inside the... Like, there's nothing in the closet there because it's been destroyed. But yet we don't live that way. We're still under the weight. We're still here. And we're slowly asphyxiating, slowly dying. And we're like, but no, this time it's okay. I got it. I got this. I'm good. Don't worry. I went to church. It's going to cover it all. I read my Bible like 6 times last month. I said thoughts and prayers on somebody's Facebook post. I'm good. But Jesus took the weight. And so in our creative team meeting, when we discussed this in August, I guess, the beginning of August, this series, I challenged the group and said, as we come to this week, we're going to have excuses. You're going to have excuses. I'm going to have excuses. Like, yeah, but excuses. And so I said, what are some of those excuses? And I kind of boiled them down into 4. Because I think when we come to this idea, you're like, yeah, okay, maybe I believe that. Yeah, but what about, you don't realize that skeleton. And I just want to say, Jesus destroyed every skeleton, even those skeletons. And as I go through this list, I want you to think of you. Because it's going to be easy to go, hey, what about that person? Man, I hope they're paying attention. They're not here right now, but they better listen. But I want you to look at you. And we're going to talk about those of you that have chosen to follow Jesus. And some of you that maybe think you followed Jesus, but you actually haven't. And those of you that are like, I don't know, I just showed up today because I heard there was good coffee. But look at yourself. Because when it comes to these skeletons, even those skeletons, the one objection that often comes up is, but God could never forgive me. But God could never forgive me. And we have that objection going like, yeah, I know that sounds great, Sean, but oh, you have no idea what I did. You have no idea where I've been. I got way behind on my notes.
sorry.
Seriously? There, that's very professional. Hi, I'm a professional communicator. I've been doing this for 25 years. But even those skeletons, and God could never forgive me. And here's what I will often hear with that, is that you don't know the person that's under these weights. If you knew who I really was, if God knew who I really was, you would never forgive me. If you knew the things that were in that closet and the things that I have done and my attitude behind them and the things that I've thought and the things that I've said out loud and the things that I said to myself, you wouldn't forgive me. And God could never forgive me. And we've said so many times, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. You can't be gooder. You can't be better. You can't be churchier. You can't be Bible readier. Those are all good things, but not to make God love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. And I have this verse here, Romans 5, 7 to 8. And in the YouVersion notes, you've got an extra piece because this is from the Message. And I just love how Eugene Peterson, this is a paraphrase, just kind of his thoughts in a paragraph. And it starts in verse 7. So we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. Like, oh, yeah, they're noble. They're good. They're a healthy person. They've done a lot of great things for our world or whatever, whatever. It's Nobel Peace or Nobel Prize season. Yeah, we can understand someone dying for someone with a Nobel Prize. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. And just watch The Batman again in the end where he cuts the wire and falls. You realize the only person in that movie, spoiler, that he ever attempted to kill was himself to save everyone else. Powerful. We can understand that. But look what he says here. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death. And look how Eugene Peterson writes this paraphrase. He says, while we were of no use whatever to him, while we were losers, Jesus didn't wait for us to get to be better. He didn't wait for us to clean up or be gooder or be nicer or be worthy or be like, okay, well, once you're good enough, then I'll die for you. No, while we were of no use whatsoever to him. The NIV says, while we are still sinners, while we were stuck in our sin, Christ died for us. And so that excuse to say, well, God can never forgive me, like, no, yeah, he could. He did it before any of us could clean up. He did it before any of us looked any better. You don't need to be good enough. You don't need to be worthy. You don't need to fix yourself because, as we saw, you can't. He died while you were no use of him whatsoever. And we talked about this in our Breaking News series last year at length. So that's one excuse. The second, even those skeletons, is, but this is too big. But this is too big. Because we've got these ideas in our mind of this sin is like, yeah, forgivable. But this sin is unforgivable. And then you're like, well, what about the unpardonable sin? Don't worry about it. If you're worried about committing the unpardonable sin, you can't commit the unpardonable sin. If you want a theological discussion about it, I will be glad to talk to you about it later. Every other sin, because that's in the Bible, in the Gospels, there's no such thing as a sin that's too big. There's nothing that's too big. There's nothing that's too awful. And we love to categorize. We have misdemeanors in our legal system, right? We have felonies. We have things warranting life in prison. We have some warranting the death penalty because we've made standards. But God, and those are necessary legally. And actually, in Exodus and Leviticus, God set out those standards to begin with. But when it comes to our sin, like, that's not how God sees it. Anything outside of the mark, whether it's over here from the target or over there, is sin. And we have this idea that it's too big. And then we think here, you know, like, oh, you don't understand. Like, I'm here on this bench, but these weights, they're just too heavy. There's no way that God could lift this. You don't realize what I've done. You don't realize all the things that I've done. There are lots of things, and guess what? They're all bad. But in Colossians chapter 2, Paul writes this to the church in Colossae. He says, you were dead. Again, by the same word, same phrase, same idea. Not alive. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Other translation would be, you were under the weight and suffocating because the weight hadn't been removed. Then God made you alive with Christ. How did he do it? Because he forgave like minimal sins. White lies were okay. He forgave white lies. If you said something angry, you better watch it. Gossip is totally cool. That's fine. He forgave that one. If you hit someone in anger, well, now you cross the line. God won't forgive that. Murder's really bad. God doesn't forgive murder. That's not what it says. Let's just be clear. If the live stream cut out, that is not what it says. He forgave all our sins. And if he didn't, as I said last week, if Jesus didn't forgive all of our sins, then why did he go to the cross? What a waste of his time and his love. He forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it all away, nailing it to the cross. And that's where we talked about a couple of years ago in our Setting the Record Straight series, talking about the judgment, the judicial side of our record and what that looks like. And you can find that. But this excuse of it's too big. God died for all. Jesus died for all sins. And I have here a most. Listen to what I have here. He died for all. I'm serious. It's right here. All of our sins. All. All of them. It's right here. If you want to look at it afterwards, that's what I wrote. He died for all of them. And there's no sin. There's no weight. They're like, oh, God can't lift that. I know you had Kirk and Ezra up here. But dude, this sin that I've committed, there's no way. We have this excuse, but God died for all of our sins. There is no weight too big. There is no sin too big. Then the third one is but I can't stop. But I can't stop. I can't, I'm like Paul, I want to do the right thing and I do the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing and I do it. And I can't stop. And I'm laying here under these weights. And I'm trapped. I'm trapped. You don't understand, Sean. I'm trapped. These skeletons are in my closet, and I can't get them out. I'm stuck there. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul writes this. Thank God, you were once slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now, and this is because of believing what Jesus did. We'll get to that in a second. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. And you have become slaves to righteous living. You are free. And here's what's going on. Some of you have believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus, have made the decision to trust Jesus with your eternity, are laying on the weight bench, laying like this. This is not a metaphor. This isn't me acting out. You're laying here like this. The weight is not here. But you're laying here going, I can't get out. It's horrible. I can't move. This sin is so great. You don't understand. It's so awful. And the rest of us are going, dude, there's nothing on you. What is wrong with you? The emperor is wearing no clothes. And yet we're staying there as followers of Jesus, and I can't get out. And Jesus is like, I set you free. I picked up the weight and I took it. It's gone. You don't need to live like this any longer. The weight has been lifted, and stop pretending like I can't get out. It's too much. I can't stop. Jesus says, I died. I died to take that weight off and it is gone. Why are you living like that? Why are you still laying there like you're trapped? You, listen to me, follower of Jesus, you do not have to keep sinning. We choose to keep sinning. And before you trusted Jesus, and if you haven't, we'll get to that in a moment, but before you believed in Jesus, you are a slave to your sin. You can't get out. The weight is on you, and it is killing you. But if you have believed in Jesus and his death on the cross for you, the weight's gone. You're free. So live like it. And then finally, the last objection is, but I can't repay. If God took this weight off of me, there's no way I could repay that. there's no way that I could fix that. And this objection is correct. You're absolutely right. There is no way you could repay God for what he did. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, and we looked at some of this last week, says, we are made right with God by placing our faith and in Jesus Christ, not by what we do, but by what we believe. Look at that next part. And this is true for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes, no matter who we are, no matter how much weight and junk you've been living with, whether you're 90 years old and your life has been horrendously sinful and awful and anti-God, whether you're, 8 years old, and right now Kendra is walking the kids through this same message in Ignition. In our Hide and Seek series, they're not doing skeletons. But he says, this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And I love that phrase. Like, everyone has sinned, we all fall short. Everyone is dying under the weight of our sin. We are suffocating. But that's not the end. He says, yet God, but God stepped in. But God says, no, I am not happy with you dying under the weight of your sin. I am not happy with you leaving the sin hiding in your closet. It says, yet God in his grace, how much did he cost him? How much does it cost us? Nothing. Freely. He gives it free. Yeah, but what's the catch? There is no catch. It's freely. God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. What was the penalty of our sins? Death. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. That's how you're made right with God. And maybe you've been coming to church and you're like, okay, God's going to be cool with me now. He's going to deal with my sin issue because I'm showing up at church. That's not how you're made right with God. You might be really nice and helping your neighbors with groceries and you think that's going to earn God's love for me, or you're just, being a gooder person. But the only way we can be made right is by believing. And so, I'd like to look at that list. Even those skeletons. What's your excuse? Do you find yourself somewhere on that list? Because we're going to get to the end of this series and we're going to deal with the skeletons in our closet. But if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, if you have not believed in what he did in taking the weight of sin off of you, if you haven't accepted him into your heart, you're not going to be able to solve your skeleton problem. You're still going to be under the weight of sin. And so maybe you're here and you've never made that decision to believe in Jesus. And what does that mean? Simply believe that you're a sinner. And the only way you can be rescued from the weight of your sin is through Jesus on the cross. And all you do is believe, and boom, the weight is lifted. And if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And it's kind of not normally for MC3 circles, but I cleared the front row. And if you need to come forward and have a seat on the front row because you need to receive Jesus, then there's a seat here for you. But maybe you're also here. Maybe you're a follower of Christ. And I'm not saying, again, we said last week, we're all in the same boat. We all have sin issues. But maybe you've just been faking it. And I'm not saying I've got a sin and everything else is going okay. But maybe you think you've been following Jesus, but you haven't. You've just been faking it to everybody. Maybe it's time for you to say, you know what? Wait, this weight has been lifted. I don't need to live under the weight anymore. And I believe in Jesus and his death on the cross. And you go back to that list for me? But are you in a spot where you say, God can never forgive me? Tommy, can you turn off that the bottom row of the lights there? Just going to dim it down a little bit more. And if you need, if that's you and you need to perceive Jesus, you need to believe in what Jesus did on the cross for you, I'd invite you to come and have a seat in the front row. Maybe you're in this spot that you say, this is too big. There's no way God can forgive this. You don't understand what I've done, Sean. No, I don't. But as we said last night, God does. And while you were still a sinner, while you were of no use to Him, He died for you. And He can clear and free all of your sins. And if that's you, please come and have a seat in the front row. By the way, we're not going to do anything weirdy with you. Just for you and God to pray. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus and this is you, but I can't stop. And you're going, I can't get out of this sin, and there's no weight on your chest. And you just need to say, Jesus, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. I have not been living for you the way I should. I've been faking it. And if that's you, there's a seat right here for you. And again, maybe you are at a spot where you're like, God, there's no way I can repay you. We can't repay Him because it's a free gift that He's given to us. And so right now, if you need to come and have a seat on the front row, get up and sit here. And can I just say, and I'm not trying to make this a guilt trip thing, I'm not trying to make this a, oh, let's hype up the crowd, but we're not going to be able to deal with this until we can deal with Jesus. So if you need to come forward and have a seat on that front row, go ahead and do that. And the hurt and the pain that we've been dealing with walking through all this junk. And ultimately it comes down to Jesus. That Jesus is the only solution. Jesus is the only way that we're going to get rid of the sin that we're struggling with. Jesus is the only one that can lift the weight from us. So what I'd like you guys to do, and again, this is different. This is not normally the way we roll it here at MC3. But it's been that kind of day. But if you're in this room, if you're in the front row, and you need to receive Jesus for the first time, I would like you to pray this prayer with me. But I'm like to ask all of you to just repeat after me as a whole group, because you've already made the decision to follow Jesus, just to be a comfort and encouragement to those people. Would you pray with me together? Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for coming to die for my sins. I realize that I am a sinner under the weight of my sin. And God, under the weight of this sin, I am dying. Thank you for sending Jesus to lift that weight from me. Father, we thank you that we don't have to do anything else but believe in Jesus. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, and that's the first time you have received Jesus, like the weight has been lifted, we don't have to live that way any longer. We can deal with the junk in our lives. And we've all got it. And it sucks. I wrote an email to the elders this week about a whole other situation that came to our attention. And the heading was, Skeletons Suck. That's how the lead pastor writes to the church leaders. So I'm going to pray for all of us. For those of you that already accepted Jesus and have made that decision, but you need to reset your life, I want to pray for you right now. Father, thank you so much again for what you have done through Jesus for us on the cross. And God, some of us, probably all of us at some point, have not stayed close to you the way we should. We've been going through the motions. We've been faking it. We've been kind of living our own way. And we've been trapped under a weight of sin that's not even there. And so God, in this moment right now, we confess that to you. And we repent from that. God, we turn away from that. And we ask that you would help us to live as free people, no longer under the weight and the slavery of our sin. Thank you that the chains have been removed, that we weren't made to be tending a grave, but you have called us to life, and we thank you for that. And God, I pray for our entire body, for everyone in this room, everyone watching online, listening online. God, we need you to heal us. We need you not just to heal this situation, but us, because our situation is sin. And thank you for the grace of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you died for us when we were of no use whatsoever to you, because you loved us so much. Help us to grow in you, God, as we move through this series. Help us to be real about the skeletons in our closet. Help us to bring them into the light, to let you shine your light on them so that we can realize that they have been destroyed on the cross and not be weighed down any longer. You are so good to us. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you guys that have made that decision to follow Jesus, for those of us in this room, that's exciting. I would agree. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And we're here. We're a church body. We're here for you. We'd love for you to plug into a Prime group. I'm not here to like throw a pitch now. I said we're not going to do anything weird. But we're here for you, and we're glad that you've made that decision to follow Jesus and the eternity that it affects. Guys, it's been a rough week. And I know you don't know this, but the elders, we prayed outside here right before this morning. And one of the prayers was that this weight that we have been bearing, we don't need to bear it any longer, because Jesus took it on the cross. And so we release it, and we are going to live in freedom as a body. And we're going to grow closer and closer to Jesus through all this.